Hebrews chapter 4. We started a couple months ago on this concept of finding the rest of God. And then we went into this concept of faith forward. We talked about everything God has provided for us has to be accessed and appropriated by faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. It does not matter how much Jesus has done for you if you don't know how to use the faith factor to appropriate what's been provided. Doesn't matter that there's over 2,000, and now theologians are saying almost 3,000 promises in the Word of God. Doesn't matter if it's in there or not. If you don't know how to appropriate that, get this book to working for yourself. And the Bible says the only way you do that is by faith. Look at me. God's Word will accomplish everything it's sent to do. Is that what the Bible says? But the scripture says it might not profit you if you don't mix it with faith. Now go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 or chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse number 8. We've already looked at it before, but we're going to hit it again here. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Come on, let's say all that out loud together. For by grace you have been saved through faith. How is grace appropriated? Through faith. Everybody say through faith. That's how we come into everything that grace has provided. I don't care if it's salvation or healing or deliverance or blessing, financial prosperity. Everything that grace has provided, and grace is a very big brush of God's goodness. Everything grace has provided has to be appropriated by faith. Now go back over here to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll show you what I mean by that. Hebrews chapter 11. Now you're going to need a Bible here, so get you a Bible out. I don't care if it's glow in the dark or pages, however you do it, just do your thing. You do you. I'm going to do me. But I want to show you what I mean by appropriating faith. Notice here, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. In other words, you can't win without living the faith life. I'm going to say that again. You cannot win without living the faith life. Now look at all the examples we have. Verse number 4, by faith, Abel. Right? Verse number 5, by faith, Enoch. Right? Now verse number 7, by faith, Noah. Verse number 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse number 11, by faith, Sarah. Go to verse number 17, by faith, Abraham. By faith, verse 20, Isaac. 21, by faith, Jacob. 22, by faith, Joseph. 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 24, by faith, Moses again. Look at verse 27, by faith. Look at this. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through. Talking about the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea. Verse number 30, by faith, the walls fell down at Jericho. You say, why are you showing us all that? Because I'm trying to tell you everything that grace has provided, we have examples and ensamples. An example is an objective look at something. An ensample is somebody who has lived it. We have examples and ensamples all through the Word of God that the only way to appropriate everything God has for you is by faith. Come on, everybody shout, by faith. By faith is how we do it. That's the reason the Bible says, and the just shall live by faith. You can't do it any other way. So that's the reason we're calling this faith forward. The only way to move forward in life is faith, right? Now, since you're in Hebrews chapter 11, go over here to Hebrews chapter 10. And let me show you a verse here in verse number 38. Let's look at the last two or three verses here of Hebrews chapter 10. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But, now that's a big but there, isn't it? But if anyone draws back. In other words, if you don't go faith forward, you go doubt backwards. I'm going to say that again. And somebody needs to tweet that. If you don't go faith forward, you will go doubt backwards. Right? You either go faith forward or doubt backwards. That's the only way. But the only way to go forward is by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now why is that? Why does God not have pleasure in people who don't live by faith? Well, keep your finger right there. Look over here at verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to what? To please him. The only way you can please God is by faith. All right, so go back over here to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, verse 38, my soul has no pleasure in him. Why is that? Because if you're not living by faith, you can't please God. Right? But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. We're not people who live like unbelievers. See, unbelievers don't know the life of faith, don't know the benefit of faith. All the unbeliever has to live by is his five senses, his empirical senses, what he can see and taste and touch and feel and hear. That's all. The Bible calls that the carnal man. See, to be carnal isn't necessarily out living in sin, bar hopping, chasing women or whatever your thing is. That's not necessarily, that is carnality. But carnality, by definition, is just living by the dictates of the flesh. In other words, I allow my flesh man, my natural man, to tell me what I can and cannot have in life. And listen, folks, if you live by your carnal man, then you're always going to be limited to what your circumstances are dictating. I'm preaching good now. But faith goes beyond your circumstances. Faith goes beyond carnality. Faith goes beyond your ability. Faith goes beyond the limitations of the natural. Come on, somebody. Faith doesn't. So we don't live. Think about the advantage you have as people of faith over somebody who's not born again. They have limitations. You don't have any limitations. Right? So notice here, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. We're not like unbelievers, but we're those who believe to the saving of the soul. We're people who walk by faith. That's the reason you come to chapter 11, verse number 1. Now remember, when they wrote the New Testament, originally the Bible, there were no chapters and verses. So this would have flown right together. Notice here, verse number 1, now faith is the substance. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying we can't live in doubt and unbelief. We're supposed to live over here in a lifestyle of faith. Why is that? Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do you have any hopes and dreams? Anybody in here have any dreams, any hopes? You got any hopes and dreams? Well, you know how to get those dreams into your now? By faith. Faith does that, ladies and gentlemen. Faith pulls the future into our now. Now, with that, I want you to go over with me to the book of Mark. Chapter 9. And this is where we're going to get into it today for the next few minutes. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse number 14. And we're going to read a little bit of scripture here, so just be prepared. Mark chapter 9, verse number 14. And when he had come to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him and greeting him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, "How long has this been happening to this little boy?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on him, on us, and help us." Can you imagine this situation? How would you like to have a child who goes into fits and seizures and literally throwing himself into your fireplace and harming himself? This kid was in a lot of trouble. And the disciples couldn't get him free. So they bring him to Jesus. Now notice here, Jesus says to him, he said, hey, can you help us, Jesus? Look at verse number 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Let's read that out loud together, please. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Come on, one more time. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If is a big word there. It's a small word, but it hangs a lot of weight. If you can believe. You want your family free? You want your son free? You want your kids free? Listen, if you can believe, all things are possible. Why is that? Because the just live by faith. And faith makes the impossible possible to everybody who can believe. Can you believe? If you can believe. Well, I like the way this man answered because it gives me hope. I think it's going to give you hope. Notice, immediately the father of the child cried out with tears and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now, I like the father's answer. I know some of y'all don't like it because you're God's second child and, you know, you're a wonder in Zion and you walk on water like Peter all the time. And you don't have any problems. But I got to tell you, I really identify with this father here. Because there's moments when I believe. I know what the Bible says. I know what the promises of God are. I've been serving the Lord for over 40 years now. I know what the Word of God teaches. I've been in Sunday school a long time. I've heard a lot of great preaching. I've studied it. I know what it says. And I believe every word of this book is true. Do I got anybody in Cookeville, Tennessee that believes that as well? I believe every word of this book is true. But can I be honest with you? I believe it. But sometimes down in the deep crevices of somewhere, I don't know where it comes from. Well, I do. I'm going to teach you where it comes from. Unbelief rises up and says, well, you know, I know God can, but maybe God won't. I know God is able, but maybe it's not his will. Y'all ever felt that way before? Especially when you're going through something, you say, Lord, I believe, but I, you know, whatever your will is, I'm careful about who I let pray for me. If somebody's going to pray for me to be healed, don't pray, thy will be done. I already know what his will is. He settled it on the cross. Somebody's going to pray for me for finances, don't pray, thy will be done. I already know what his will is concerning finances. I pray the will of God. But there's some things in life I don't have necessarily a scripture on, but I know God wants to be good to me and has a victory for me. And I have to say, Lord, I believe. Yeah, there's a little bit of unbelief there. Now, where does that unbelief come from? You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. All of you have faith. Every man's been given it. Wendy, you got enough faith right now for anything you're going to ever need. You say, well, I don't have a lot of faith. The Bible says if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be thou removed. I mean, how much more faith you need than that? It's not an issue of faith. Listen to me. I'm going to make a statement now, and this is going to what we're going to base our teaching on. It's not your faith that's the problem. It's the unbelief. If thou canst believe. How many in here think that Jesus knows everything? How many of you think since Jesus knows everything, he already knows this man has unbelief? Come on. Notice Jesus didn't even address his unbelief. Jesus addressed his believing side, his faith side. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. This man is the one who said, I believe. Listen, he wouldn't have brought his son to Jesus if he didn't believe. He knew Jesus was a miracle worker. But the problem is here he's got his son. He brought him to his disciples. And this kid's still throwing himself in the fire. He's still seizing up. He's still gnawing his tongue. Jesus is standing there. He's still getting rigid. Jesus is standing there. Still getting rigid. And notice what's happening. The father now is looking at the son. and looking at the disciples and looking at the religious crowd that couldn't do nothing with him. And the father is having to wrestle now with who he knows Jesus is versus what he's seeing with this child. Faith on one side of the track, unbelief on the other side of the track. Where does that come from? Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I want to teach you. Go over to Romans chapter 8. I want to show you where unbelief comes from and how to deal with it. How many of you guys would like to learn how to walk in faith and put unbelief down? Would you like to learn that? Let me show you here, Romans chapter 8. Look with me at verse number 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, if I wanted to right now, I could stop right here and teach for months on this one word, mindset. Mindset. Those who live according to the flesh set their mind. Now, again, look at me. Don't do the church thing. Don't say flesh means all sinners. Because the majority of the people who attend church live according to their flesh. They never get over into faith. Look at me. I'm going to prove it to you. Can I prove it to you? I'm not condemning anybody. I'm throwing myself in this batch when I ask you the question today. How many of you last week did something that required faith? No, put your hands down. Now let me define that for you. In other words, you couldn't use your resources to get it. Your intellect couldn't provide it. Your talent couldn't make it happen. Your connections couldn't make it happen. In other words, only God could have intervened to give you that. Now the majority of people who lifted their hands would have to put their hands back down and say, well, I could have made some of that happen. The truth is, you lived according to your flesh. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. God's given you talents. God's given you abilities, and he expects you to use your talent and your ability to get ahead in life, right? God's not into lazy folk.
That's right.
Right? God will help you, but you got to help yourself. But how many of us just stay within the realm of our natural ability and never get into an area where it requires absolute faith? This is the reason I think soul winning is so important for believers. Because soul winning is one of those little areas that's a big deal, because when you talk to somebody about Jesus, you have no control over it. It requires total faith to go up to a total stranger and start talking to them about the Lord. Come on, how many know I'm telling the truth here, right? Just soul winning takes such faith. But most Christians never live by that. So watch now. Look, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. The majority of Christians I know, their entire mindset is about the nasty now and now. All they think about is their job. All they think about what they got to do, that just everything, all they think about is their appearance. I told one of my staff one time several years ago, I said, if you would worry about the anointing of the Holy Ghost as much as you worry about what pair of shoes you're going to put on with those jeans right there, those young people in that youth group will get free. You're too busy trying to be cute. You need to be worried about being anointed. Slap your neighbor and tell them that's a word for you right there. Anyway. Let me go back. I got to get back here. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of flesh. All right, but here's another but. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, their mindset is on what the Holy Ghost wants. Their mindset is what the Word is saying about them. Look at me. Every situation, every circumstance, every place in your life, you've got one of two mindsets you're going to adopt. You're either going to adopt the mindset about what your natural man sees, hears, touches, tastes, and feels about the moment, or you're going to get beyond the natural and you're going to look at that and you're going to say, hold it, here's what the Word of God says about it. This is what Jesus says about this. Now, if you set your mindset over here, you walk in the Spirit. If you set your mind over here, you're going to live by the flesh. As soon as you set your mind over here, look at me. Now, the natural man is your limitation. But when you're over here on this side in the spiritual side, I'm preaching good. Y'all don't know where I'm going, but I'm baiting and switching, you see. Over here, now I'm in the Spirit. There's only two ways to live. You either faith and forward or doubt and backwards.
That's right.
You're either natural man going backwards or your faith man, spirit man going forward. There's only two ways to live, folks. It's really simple. Don't take a rocket science. You need a good theologian to mess that up for you. Right? Now, he didn't stop there. Now, notice this. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Now, again, carnally minded doesn't mean you're got lust in your heart. Carnally minded can mean you just think about the flesh, the natural all the time. Notice what he says. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What a dichotomy. What a dichotomy. Over here, I've got life and peace and joy and the fruits of the Holy Spirit working. And over here, I got nothing but death and destruction and going backwards in life. Look at me. If I live according to the natural, death and destruction is where I'm headed. I don't care how gifted you are. That's all you got to look forward to. If you live over here on the spiritual side, victory is yours. Peace is yours. You know, there are people that go through terrible things, and in the middle of it, they have peace that passes all understanding. That means their natural mind that they can't understand over here, if they operated over here, because they can't understand it, just drive them crazy. But over here in the spirit, I can have peace that passes all understanding. It's beyond understanding. In other words, I'm not letting my natural mind control me because I got the mind of Christ. Did you know you got two minds? If you're born again, you got two minds. Do you know that? Two. You got the mind of Christ according to the Word of God. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost on the inside. How many know the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, according to Timothy, breathed this book into men's hearts and they wrote it down? In other words, the Holy Ghost was the author of this book. So if the Holy Ghost is the author of this book and the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, even if you haven't read it, it's in there. And the Holy Ghost will tell you what to do and what not to do. But the problem is you get over here in your natural mind looks this, says, oh, I don't understand, and starts freaking out. And next thing you know, you're in turmoil and chaos and confusion. But then there's a group of people over here say, you know what, I'm not going to look at the natural because I've got another understanding about what's going on here. And it lifts them up above the natural and they have life and peace and joy and all of these things in contrary to their circumstances. And people look at those folks like they're freaks. Right? But let me ask you a question. Who's the people you run to when you need help? Do you run somebody that doesn't know how to live life and have peace and have joy? No. Listen, if you're sick, you go to somebody that's well. That understands healing, right? If you're depressed, you don't go to somebody else that's depressed. Y'all will hang yourselves. Right? One will tie you up and string you up and they'll hang themselves together. No. Who do you go to? You go to somebody that's got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why is that? Because there's two ways to live. You got two minds in you right now. You've got the mind of Christ and you've also got the mind of the flesh, your carnal mind. All right. Now let's keep reading here. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because look now, the carnal mind is an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, which is the law of faith, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, hold it. What pleases God? Hebrews 11:6. So faith pleases God. Right? What pleases God?
Faith.
Well, the Bible says very clearly here that those who are in the flesh, if you live by your natural carnal mind, you cannot please God. Can't be done. Are y'all here with me today?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, I don't even know how far. Does everybody see what I'm trying to point out to you right here? Now, I want to show you one more thing and then we're going to quit today. Go over here to the book of Genesis. See, I said I was going to quit and the baby said yes, amen. Genesis chapter 1. Now, where does unbelief come from? It comes from the carnal side. It comes from the carnal mind that doesn't have understanding. So look, the man who brought his boy to Jesus, he knew Jesus was a healer. So there was one mind in him said, if I can get this little boy to Jesus, he'll get well. But then there, when he got there and his boy's throwing himself in the fire and the natural circumstances look contrary. And here Jesus is standing there and Jesus says, hold it. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Now he's got two things working on the inside of him. That's the reason he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. It's normal. Look at me. Your unbelief is normal. It's not productive. It's not profitable, but it's normal. Why is that? Because you live in a natural body. Now, I just freed some of you because every time you have any unbelief, condemnation sets in on you and says, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. Why don't you believe God? Listen, unbelief is normal. In fact, unbelief is the most natural thing to your natural man. That's the reason bad news sells. Good news don't sell. Bad news sell. Why is that? Because it appeals to the fallen man. Unbelief is natural to the natural man, just like faith is natural to the spiritual man. Right? So watch. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So you've got two things working on the inside. So when the Bible says that they were, he said, help my unbelief, his mind was talking. When he said, I believe, his spirit man was talking. Everybody do this. Put one hand right here and put one hand up here. Right? Now I want you to rub this way on this one and rub the opposite way on the other one. Right? Because there's two things working in you. You got the Spirit of God on the inside with the mind of Christ. Look at me. But you got the natural man on the outside. And this is an enemy of God. This is an enemy of this. And the Bible says they war against each other. Every victory in your life happens 16 inches from right here. Every victory. Every defeat in your life happens 16 inches from right here. Every one of them. That's the reason the Bible says we got to get into the Word of God and renew our mind. Because what does the Word of God do? The Word of God brings our mind into alignment with the spirit man. But if all I do is watch the news, then guess what? I bring my mind into alignment with the natural world. Y'all in Genesis? I'm going to show you why it's important. Now, I want to prepare you. This revelation is going to be so good that some of you are going to take a chair and jump up and run around like a wild Indian. No offense to any wild Indians here today. Y'all ready for this revelation? I'm going to drop it on you. Here you go. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything creeps on the earth. Did you know you got dominion over creeps? Everybody say, I have dominion over creeps. Now don't look left or right. Nobody will know you're talking about them, right? Then God said, let us make man our image. Look at me. What is the image of God? What is God? God is love, but what is God in essence? He's spirit. John 4. God is spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Everybody say, God is a spirit. So when God said, let us make man in our image, then what is man at the heart? At the core, you're a spiritual being. Now, you live in a body and you have a mind, but at the core, the real you is a spirit man, and here's proof. If you were to die right now, your spirit man with the soul never dies. Your body falls to the ground as death, but your spirit man steps out of your body and lives forever. Right? Y'all listening to me? So the real you is a spirit man. It's eternal. It never dies. I got news for you. You're never going to die. I don't care if you're lost or saved. You're never going to die. You're going to live forever somewhere because the real you is created in the likeness and the image of God, the spirit you. All right, does everybody see that? Now look at Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. Y'all see that? And breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God what? He formed man from the dust of the ground. Now, what part of man was created right here? The body. How do we know that? Because the Bible says he got down on the freshly formed shores of a newly recreated earth, and he took his hands and he formed man from the dust of the ground. This body is earthly, right? So watch now. The form part of man is created right here in Genesis chapter 2. The spirit part of man was created in Genesis chapter 1. So when God created the form part, the body part of man, what did he do? He took the spirit that he had created and he blew that into that man's body, and man became a living soul. It animated his body. Now he was a spirit being until he got in that body, and now he's a spirit being in a physical body. Are y'all here? Say yes.
Yes.
All right, I got a question for you. To which one of those, Genesis 1:26 or Genesis 2:7, to which one of those did he say have dominion?
To the spirit.
You mean he never said have dominion to the form part of man? You'll never find anywhere in the Word of God where God said to the natural part of man, the form part of man, the body part of man, have dominion. Only to the spiritual side of man has God said, have dominion. And you say, Pastor, why are you preaching this? Because I'm trying to tell everybody in this room, inside of you is unbelief. Comes from the natural man. Comes from this mind that I have that minds the natural things. And if I limit myself to the natural man, hold this, baby. If I limit myself to the natural man, then what I have is death and destruction. I go backwards in doubt and unbelief. But if I'm born again, I've also got the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same Spirit called Jesus to walk on water, the same Spirit caused Peter to walk on water, same Spirit that caused Peter and John to lift up a man who is lame in his legs in Acts chapter 3 and caused him to leap and to dance and to jump and to shout. The same Holy Ghost is in me. And if I have my mind set according to the things the Word of God says, and I'm allowing my spirit man to control my life, then guess what? I got life and peace. If I don't, if I'm over here, then I've got unbelief, which leads to destruction. So in every single one of you, whenever you get in a situation, I'm going to help you so good right now. When you get in a situation, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be one side of you as a Christian that says, I believe. But then your natural mind's going to be looking at the... And remember, this right here is an enemy against God. If your natural mind is not renewed according to that word, it's an enemy against God.
Right.
And the plan of God for yourself. So your natural mind starts looking at circumstances. And if you're not careful, if you get your mind over here now, wherever your mindset is where your life's going. You get your mindset over here, guess what's going to happen? Next thing you know, you're going to start saying, I got unbelief. Help my unbelief, Lord. And if you're not careful, then you'll start looking at your whole life from the unbelief side of the equation. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Give me a Baptist nod, right? And you'll start. And now, if you get over here, it's an uphill battle to get back over here. Because now you got to get faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. You got to get yourself motivated and stirred up about the things of God and move yourself from unbelief over here to faith. What I'm trying to say to you as a believer, instead of trying to go from here to there, why don't you just live over here? And the just shall live by faith. I'm created to live over here. And over here is victory in every area of my life. Now, that doesn't mean that the enemy won't come. But the Bible says he'll come in one way and he'll flee before me seven ways. It doesn't mean that he won't form any weapon against me. But the Bible says no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's the spiritual side of this thing. And I've got to live on the spirit. This is the side that God's created me to dominate from. So look at me. You're either going to walk in dominion or you're going to be dominated by your flesh. You can't have both at the same time. That's why Jesus said bitter water and fresh water can't come from the same fountain. You're either going to have the tap on one side or the tap on the other side, but you can't have them both coming together because it creates a weird, polluted mixture. Now, do you know what you have when you take the faith tap and you turn it wide open and you take the unbelief tap and you turn it wide open? Do you know what happens? Do you know what happens when you turn the hot on? And then you turn the cold on in a bathtub. Y'all know what happens? Can anybody tell what happens? Woo! Here. Do you know what happens when you turn the faith faucet on and you turn the unbelief faucet on? You get a mixture called unbelief. Or you get a mixture called religion, rather. Right? So net, huh? Come on. Look at me. I got... Here's what most Christians, here's how most Christians, it's the way a lot of churches operate. They got one tap over here. Oh, y'all need to be on fire for God. And then they got the other tap over here. Well, if you get sick, it might be the Lord's will to heal you. Over here, hey, y'all worship now. Come on, worship the King. Our King is on the throne. Over here, they got the cold tap on. Over here, you know. Well, he's on the throne, but, you know, don't expect anything great to come. See what happens? So that's the reason when the man brought his boy to Jesus, he expected more out of the disciples than what he got. But the problem is, the disciples had, if you read the passage, Mark chapter 9, the disciples had been hanging out with the religious crowd. So what happened was, they got over here and they got around this old lukewarm water. I'm preaching good now. Instead of hanging out with Jesus up on the mountain where the water was coming out real hot. And then you go over to the book of Revelation. Here's what Jesus says about all that stuff. He said, I'd rather you be hot or I'd rather you be cold. He said, but if you're full of unbelief and you're lukewarm, he said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Do you know what makes God more sick than anything? It's not the wrong sinner who's hooked on heroin. What makes God more sick than anything is the church member who sits in church but never lives a life of faith. Excuse me for a moment. That was a poor Michael Jackson, sorry. I'm trying to help you today. Look at me. What are you going to be? Well, are you going to be Cookeville, Tennessee? What you going to be? Are you going to be this mixture, this little mixture of that what we got going on in church right now? Is that what we're going to be? Is that's what we're going to be, is just this little lukewarm mixture? That's not everybody. But for most Christians, that's what we've become. We don't even know if we really believe what we believe anymore. Because you know why? We base everything on, well, Pastor, why did this happen? If God does this, why does that happen? Well, instead of getting my natural mind over there, why don't I keep my mind in the book and say, well, I don't know why that happened, but I can tell you what the Word of God says, and the just will live by faith. I'm going to believe God on this side. Come on, over here is dominion. Over here is domination. I'm going to walk in dominion. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Right? I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. Now just relax. We all got it in us. Take a man away from his Bible, away from church, away from other believers. And I don't care how strong he can speak. Listen, he can pray in tongues all the time. Take a man away from his Bible, away from other believers, away from church. And after a while, you know what he'll do? He'll start getting over here and talking about unbelief. He'll be a faithless generation. Because all he's left with is what the natural side says. But you take a weak person. I'm talking about somebody don't know anything about God. Start putting them around church. Start putting them around believers. Start putting them around the Word of God. And the next thing you'll know, they'll start talking faith and walking faith and living in faith. I've watched it. Listen, I have watched it for decades. I used to tell people this all the time, and he started telling everybody this again. I used to say to people every Sunday, give me 1 year of your life, do what I teach you, and see what happens in a year. That's right. I used to tell people that all the time. And they'd come in and broke and busted and disgusted and rejected and down and out and their life in a whole mess and depression and on every kind of pill in the world trying to medicate something that they can't fix. You listen to me. Look at me. I'm not against any kind of medication. I'm not against going to a doctor for help. You go get whatever help you need. But what I'm telling you is you can't medicate a spiritual problem. Spiritual issues can only be dealt with spiritually, not physically. I've watched people come in and be so broken, their family's falling apart. And I say, hey, just listen to me. Do what I teach you on Sunday. Pam tells me, don't counsel nobody. She tells me, don't count. And here's the reason she tells you, because I'm a fixer. Here's the way I look at life. It's real easy. If you're doing this, the Bible says do that. You do that, and you won't have that. So if you come to me for counseling, I don't want to hear how it is with Fred's hangnail for 3 months. I'm going to say, take Fred to the nail place. Let them cut out the hangnail. Put some peroxide and alcohol on it. It'll be better in a couple weeks. And he'll quit walking crazy. That's not what Christians want. They want you to sit and listen to how it is with Fred. I'm not that way. I'm a fixer. That's the reason if you need counseling, we've got a couple ladies in here. We'll send you to the counselors. Don't come to me for counseling. Come to me to be the pastor. I'll tell you what the Bible says. I'm not against counseling. I'm just saying I'm a bad one. Because everything's black and white to me. Folks, look at me. It's either unbelief or it's belief. It's either faith or it's not faith. Everything is black and white. I can't live in the gray area of life. This is too murky for me. I can see clearly now the rain. Oh, sorry. Faith. 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 I feel like somebody's going to get what I'm talking about today, and you're going to quit walking over here, and you're going to get on the faith side, and you're not going to believe what your life is going to look like in a year. You're just not going to believe it. Come on, if you understand what I'm saying, stand up right now. Stand up all over this building. Isn't this good? Boy, we've had great worship. And I must say, that was great teaching, even if I did do it. Amen. Let me pray over you. Now, Lord, right here in this building today, just like myself, they struggle with faith and unbelief. The natural man says that some things aren't possible, but something in their spirit man says all things are possible to him who believes. So, Lord, we're going to pray the prayer. Now that we understand where it comes from and how to defeat it, and understand that the spiritual side of us is the part that walks in dominion, we're going to pray this same prayer this man prayed, and we're going to ask you to help us. Lord, we believe, but help us in our unbelief. Help me not to admire the natural things, to set my mind on the carnal things. Help me to set my mind on things which are above, to set my mind on the Word of God. Help me to live a life of faith. Now, Lord, I pray over these people that you would cause them to prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. Come on, lift your hand. I pray, Lord, you would lift up your countenance over their life. Lift up your face over their life. Turn your countenance toward them. Grant peace to them. Grant favor to them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, lift them up above where they are right now to another dimension of grace and glory. Help them to walk into everything that you've already paid for their life, everything that grace has provided. Help us, Lord, not to be satisfied to live beneath the privileges of heaven. And Lord, we decree over them right now, they are the head and they are not the tail. They are above only, they are not beneath. They are blessed going in and blessed going out. Yes, I am, Lord. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. You can put me anywhere. I'm blessed. And everything my hand touches is blessed. Not because of me, but because I'm over here in the dominating side of life. I'm walking according to the Spirit of God. I believe what the Word of God says about me. And so therefore, if God is for me, then nobody can be against me. Help us get out of this victim mindset where we feel like we're always struggling to get the victory. Help us to get out of the victim mindset. We're not victims. We're victors in Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I speak this over every person's life under the sound of my voice. Now, for those in here, Lord, that might not be right with you, they maybe, Lord, while I've been teaching, even though we've prayed in the altars, while I've been teaching, they say, I'm not where I need to be with God. Lord, I pray right now they would just reach out to you and say, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. Become the Lord of my life. Change my life forever. Lord, they don't have to go through religious calisthenics. The Bible says if they call upon you, you'll answer them and show them great and mighty things they know not of. So if you're in here today and you're not right with the Lord, it's real simple. Just lift those hands to heaven and just say, Lord, that's me. Would you just come and invade my life? Would you change my life? I give my life to you today. I want a brand new start. I want a brand new life. And I believe that heaven will come right now and rush towards you and meet you at the seat that you're at right now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you for total victory in every area of life today. We give you praise for it. And Lord, help us remember over the next couple of days that we have a lot to be thankful for. We're going to have food on our table and people around the world aren't going to have any food. We're going to have clothes on our back and people around the world aren't going to have any clothes. God, you've been good to us. And the Bible says to give thanksgiving with a grateful heart. So Lord, we say thank you and help us to be thankful this season. Let us have the greatest, most peaceful, prosperous, wonderful Thanksgiving that we've ever had in Jesus' name. If you agree, let's say amen. And amen. Can you give the Lord a shout? Listen, I love you. Remember, no service this coming Wednesday night and the concert tomorrow night. We do have some tickets out there if you want to give some out. God bless you. Get out of here. Be safe as you're pulling out of the parking lot. We'll see you next Sunday morning.